Well, if you got, did y'all bring a Bible? Anybody bring a Bible? Okay. Well, if you brought your Bible, turn to Genesis. I think it's, let me see what my lesson says. How about Genesis 19? Let's see. Mike, would you pray for us? Amen, amen. We're just going to look at one verse and then go from there. It's a very, very simple lesson, and I pray that it's going to be a blessing to all of us. Genesis 19, verse 27. It says, "And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord." What we're going to look at tonight, just for a short time, is your personal time with God. Your personal time with God. You know, we all make it a point. Some of us come by force, and some come by choice. But we come to church, and we listen to the preaching and teaching, and we spend time singing hymns, and it's good to come together in the house of God, and it's good to assemble ourselves together. And the Bible says we should do that. But God desires some personal time with each one of us. And so this verse, we've got Abram got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. So I want to look at some things that, and you know, I'll go ahead and just cut to the chase. Some of this stuff is very, very basic, and some of it may be new. Most of it may be heard it before. But your personal time with the Lord is something that can easily become mechanical. It's something that each one of us need to do maintenance on a regular basis. As I go through this, I'll probably be pointing out all kinds of problems I've had with it, and I know that I'm not the only one. So if you will just, if when this lesson's over, if there's one thing in here, and that's what I'd ask you to pray for right now as we start, something in here that'll help you have a better personal time with God, that you can improve what you're already doing, okay? Abraham is an excellent example of some morning time. He got up early and got with the Lord. We're going to look at quite a bit of scripture. Turn to Psalm. We're not going to come back here, so Psalm chapter 5. Psalm chapter 5 and verse 3, or we can read 1 through 3. Psalm 5, verse 1 says, "Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditations. Hearken to the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee I will pray." Verse 3, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up." David did the same as Abraham. They both, the first thing in the morning, they got with the Lord. Abraham actually went and stood in the presence of the Lord. He went to seek out his seek out hearing something from God. This getting with the Lord is the key to your relationship with God. You can come to church or and you can go through all the motions, but you know, we tell these guys on the ships constantly, they're all if they have any knowledge of God, they're very religious. They belong to a religion. And we try to tell them what you've heard many, many times, and you know to be true, that this is not a religion. This is a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so if you're going to have a relationship with the Lord, you've got to have some personal time with him. You know, when Maureen and I first got married, I owned three businesses. I was, you know, constantly doing that. And so she was cheap labor, so I put her at the office, and she became a corporate mogul. Yeah, she was a mogul, yeah. And so we were together at home, and then we would go to work, and we were together, and then we'd come home for lunch together, and then we'd go back to work. We just kind of like 24/7 together. And just, you know, despite what you think, it worked out really well. We had a good time. Now, when I started the ministry, then I came down here, she was kind of like, "This ain't working." this guy's putting more hours in at church than he was for three businesses. And so there was a difference in because we just, the key to our relationship was spending some personal time together. And you can shake your heads because it's true. If you want to have a personal relationship with the Lord or anyone else, it takes time together to do that, okay? And so David did the same thing. You know, Abraham was considered a friend of God, and David was a man after God's own heart. And both of them had something in common. They got with the Lord on a regular basis. Okay, you're in Psalms. Go to Matthew chapter 6. Once again, another very familiar verse. Matthew chapter 6 says, verse 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. You know, Abraham, you know, went to a place to meet with the Lord, and truly this personal time with God seems to work better if you have a certain place that you do it. Do y'all normally have one place where you go and do your Bible reading and your prayer with the Lord? Sure. And it works on several accounts. If you have a place, we'll get into no distractions and all those kind of things, but it's part of forming a habit. Does anybody in here have any problem finding food in your house? You know where to go find it, right? It's a habitual thing. You get where you know where, you even know where your spouse hides the good stuff, right? And so the same thing should be true with your relationship with the Lord. You ought to have a special place, and know where to do that and do it daily. God really wants some one-on-one time with you. Abraham stood before the Lord. He was waiting for the Lord to speak to him, so he was waiting to hear from God. And see, that's what this personal time is for. Of course, none of us have a problem praying and getting with God on what we need and telling him our desires and our wants and our needs. But truly, we need to take some time just to be with him, to hear maybe what he has for us, okay? 2 Peter chapter 3. Peter ends the letter with verse 18. And he says, but grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord and the Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory now, both now and forever. Amen. We are to grow. You know, I have found in my Christian life that there is no status quo. You don't reach a point and now you've arrived. Your relationship with the Lord is either growing or it's falling back or backsliding. Am I the only? You're looking at me like I'm a big backslider, and y'all are a bunch of Bible believers, and you can't even believe I'm up here saying this stuff because you had to stop reading your Bible just to come to church, right? Okay, now we got that all clear. I know what you guys are. You know, okay, I am one of you. We need to. There is no, as far as your personal time with God, that thing is either growing or getting better or it's getting worse. There's no status quo in that kind of thing. So we're going to look at some things here that maybe will help each one of us, maybe starting tonight, starting tomorrow. You know, Abraham started first thing in the morning, and David first thing in the morning. And Pastor says it constantly when he's in the pulpit that, you know, he gets up in the morning and while he's got it, he goes through the process of making his coffee and say he goes to the Bible first. And that's where he has to go or it doesn't work for him. I've spent most of my Bible reading life, in a work situation where I would go down to the office extra early in the morning, get all of my to-dos and stuff out of the way, so that's not working on my mind, and then I could shut down and go, okay, now it's me and the Lord, and actually have great personal time with God at my desk at work, and that was my place to meet up with the Lord. Maureen, she sets up her throne there in bed, and she's got a reading light, and she knows how to stack the pillows and get the Bible just right, and the prayer books there, and she gets all over that. And I could no more read the Bible in bed than the man in the moon. I'd be asleep in a second, you know. So there is no one size fits all. But the point is we need to get somewhere where that we've got this personal time with God. The purpose of personal time with God. Number one, it's fellowship with God. Communication is the key. It's a must in any relationship. It's the same old example. You know that if you, husbands, if you don't talk to your wife for about a week, y'all's relationship's going to be really good. She's going to be so mad at you, she can't stand it, okay? And I don't know whether God gets mad at us when we don't talk to him or vice versa, but communication is really, really important. But here's another thing that your time with God is going to help you with, Ephesians chapter 6. You know, in Ephesians chapter 6, it starts out in verse 10 here. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Okay, and then it says to put on the whole armor of God. And that's the context of the next several verses, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. But verse 12, it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You see, you need to be aware of the fact that your personal time with God in prayer and reading Bible and studying the Word actually prepares you for these battles that are not against flesh and blood, spiritual battles. And we don't... How many of y'all woke up this morning thinking about the spiritual battles you were going to have to attack today? You don't even think about that stuff. In fact, most of us, we get to the point where something is really a mess, or something's going wrong, and we start to, after we react or we get angry or we throw things or we run and hide or however you deal with it, then you start to think, you know, that some of that could have been spiritual. You go there last. You go there last. And in this room is a bunch of born-again Christians. You are children of God. There was a time where you walked in the same direction as the devil, and now you walk in a different direction. You walk contrary to. And so you can expect, all those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So if you're not suffering persecution, the verse says you're not living godly in Christ Jesus, okay? So I'm not saying now, oh, man, I haven't been persecuted. But there's spiritual battles that are going on at work. There's spiritual battles that are going on in this room. If God could open our eyes, like Elijah had opened the eyes of his servant that day, and see the things that are going on in this room, we got visitors in here. Yeah, and they don't have visitors' cards. Yeah. We've got all kinds of powers and principalities and rulers of the darkness and things in here that are, number one, trying to get you to not listen to the deal or to wander in your mind or to think about other things and distract you from the purpose at hand. And so these things are real. And when you take the time to have that personal time with God, you are building up those defenses and you're actually empowering that armor of God that goes on in the context. Does that make sense? So it's very important, the purpose of your time with God is fellowship with him and strength for the day. Strength for the day. Preparation for your time with God. Okay, if you're going to do this first thing in the morning, how many of y'all actually do Bible in the first term? And if you don't read Bible, this is a good time to put your hand up. Yeah, a lot of people do it first thing in the morning, okay? Well, it would just make sense. You need to go to bed early and make sure you're awake before you start reading the Bible. I hate to keep picking on Maureen, but, you know, until she has two cups of coffee, you don't even talk to her. Okay, God doesn't even talk to her until she has two cups of coffee. He tried it once, and it just didn't work out good at all. You know, every one of us are different. And so you need to find a way, but it just makes sense if you're going to do this first thing in the morning, you wouldn't stay up all night and then try to do it. Abraham stood there and waited for God. You know, a lot of people walk and pray out loud. I know for a fact, Pastor, if he's praying or something, he'll come in here during the day and do laps around the sanctuary, and he'll pray while he walks in here. I know I personally, because of our wonderful dog that we have, that's a whole nother sermon, I walk him every morning for about 2 miles, 2.5 miles, and use that time to pray while I walk. It's just a great time to get with God undistracted. And so, you know, you need to find whatever works for you, but there's nothing wrong with walking and or standing or any of those kind of things when you do that. You know this, you got to put away the distractions. You got to put away the distractions. You know, praying with that sitting right there, I read my Bible with Scorby, okay? And that's good because it helps me stay attentive and it helps me pronounce words, and it's all kinds of help to it. Yet, every email, every text overrides Scorby. And so, bing, da-da-da-da-da, bing. You know, and so sometimes you actually have to turn off Scorby and just read your Bible. Because it's a distraction. You know, the TV, the newspapers, all kinds of things are distractions that the world, the flesh, and the devil will use to distract you from this. So here's an important one, Psalm 46. In your preparation for your personal time with God. And I've been experimenting with this one more and more, and it seems to be very, very beneficial. And I can't explain it, but Psalm 46, verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." I don't know, all I can do is tell you my experience. And my experience is when I'm, say I'm frustrated over I'm supposed to do Wednesday night deal and I don't have a lesson and it's Wednesday night and so you're trying to figure out what God wants you to do, and so you go to the Lord in prayer and you do all the talking. You say, "Oh Lord, I need to do this and I need that, and I don't know what to do." You know, it's have you ever had your children come up and they're just frustrated and they're just talking and you don't even have a chance to help them because they won't shut up? Well, I challenge you to try this soon. Come to the Lord sincerely wanting to have some personal time with Him and be still. And just be still and not say a word. And get with God. And you will be amazed. It's easier to say than to do. Because you will be still and then you'll be thinking about tomorrow and what you're going to, and you to try to shut down our minds with all the things that are going on it takes practice. It's almost an art. And so I challenge you to try it, because once you can be still and know that He's God, there's a lot of things that can happen. You can get a lot of answers to prayer. You can get a lot of clarity in your Bible reading just by being still. Don't do all the talking. Just listen. Romans 8:14 says, as many as are, let's see what it says. Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." We're sons of God, and we're supposed to be led by the Spirit of God. So we should be in our personal time with God. You know, you go through the book of John and it explains all about how the Holy Spirit is the one that leads you and guides you into all the understanding of the book and all these things. We ought to be like seeking out the work of the Holy Spirit in that time. I don't think there's a problem with inviting the Holy Spirit to help you out in your prayer time and your Bible reading, okay? You're looking at me like this is just, I don't know why you even brought up this lesson. Here's one. John chapter 2. John chapter 2. Preparation. Something you ought to do before you go to have your personal time with God. This is when Jesus was at the wedding with his mom. And in verse 5. John 2:5. His mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. See, if you're going to go to the Lord with some private time, some personal time in prayer and Bible reading, you need to go committed. If he tells you something to do, you're going to do it. Yeah, yeah. That would be a great help. I know that, Tony and I and Pastor for sure, we're given the privilege, a great responsibility to counsel people, and we give them as best we can the counsel out of the Bible, and we'll give them, you know, one or two things to do, and we give the counsel, and then the next time they come back, you go, well, did you do those things? Oh, no, I didn't do that. Well, then we don't need to talk to you anymore, because why do you come here for counsel and you don't do it? And so if you're going to sincerely, and we do it. You can act like you don't, but I've done it. Sincerely go to the Lord seeking an answer to something, and when he shows me the answer, I don't like that answer. You know, that ain't the answer I wanted, okay? I'll be glad to do it when you come around with the answer I wanted, okay? Yeah. No, we need to go there with the fact that if God's going to show us something or tell us something, we're going to obey what he tells us. And then, let's see, go to Psalm 51. These are some things that truly will help your personal time with God if we'll put them into action. Psalm 51, of course, you know that's David's prayer after the Bathsheba matter. And he says in verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. You know, if you're going to, and we could go through a lot of scriptures, but if you're going to go to the Lord in prayer and Bible reading and expect to actually have some quality time with God, you got to come with a clean heart. You got to come with you got to confess the sin in your life. You got to try to get that thing out. Your iniquity is going to stand between you and God when you do that, so it's not going to work very well. So that's some preparation for your personal time with God. Some provisions that you may need for your personal time with God. The first thing you need is a Bible, and everyone in here understands that means a King James 1611 Bible. It's pretty clear. We believe that's the Word of God. The other thing about Bible and getting something out of reading your Bible, there's a, you know, I don't know, when I first started reading my Bible, man, I wanted to get me one of these wide margins, you know, so you can put these notes in there and look like you know something, you know. And the more notes you have, the better it is, and you get a real kick out of that, okay? And then as you go through and you hear people preach, boy, you put the preaching notes on the side, you know, and all that. Well, that stuff's all good, and it helps whenever you're trying to find it. It's helped me a lot. But a lot of times it hinders me in my Bible reading because I heard somebody preach on this passage. And so every time I read my Bible, when I get to that passage, I don't listen for God. I don't listen for the Holy Spirit. I don't try to seek out any kind of new understanding. You know what I hear? I hear whoever preached on that passage. And that's all I'm ever going to get out of that passage is because of that and the notes. So it has helped me. I've got another Bible identical to this one with not a mark on it. And it's helped me many times to just read that Bible. Because then when I read, I don't have these notes messing with me, trying to tell me, well, oh yeah, that's this and that's that. I can go into it and let God teach it like it's the first time I've read it. Does that make sense? Another thing is if you have a commentary Bible or one with notes, those things can be a real help at times and they can be a real hindrance at times. Of course, if the notes are wrong, they're a real hindrance. They take you to the wrong place. Some of the Thompson Chain Bibles, the little chain will take you right to the wrong thing, and it won't be a big help. But a lot of them have really good references, but then what you're doing is instead of reading your Bible and hoping that God is going to show you something, you're reading your Bible and hoping the commentator is going to show you something. You're getting your information from man instead of God. Does that make sense? So you need to be careful with that. And sometimes I'll put this one away, get the other Bible just to read that and try to get God to show me something that I know he wants to show me. Another thing when you read Bible is it's a good thing to have a pen or pencil and some paper around. Because, you know, I've got, even in my Bible, I've got places where there's big question marks in the... You know, do y'all ever, you act like y'all all understand everything in the Bible, huh? Okay. Well, stay after church. I've got some question marks by some things in mind that I don't understand. But if you've got a pencil paper, you can write those things down. And, you know, later on, you know, we're supposed to read that Bible and we're supposed to pray, but we're also supposed to study to show thyself approved. Every once in a while, you got to study some things out. And if you have some paper, you can keep some notes and maybe work on some of those things on the side. You ought to have some kind of a plan. Some kind of plan. I know how many of you use the Bible reading calendars? We got quite a few that use that because it's a plan. You sit down and you're going to read this, you're going to read that, you're going to do this. It takes you through Proverbs 12 times. Psalms twice, New Testament twice, Old Testament once. So that's pretty good. I just read mine from the front to the back, and I read Proverbs. How many of y'all read the proverb of the day? That's a pretty good thing to do. And when I was going to Bible school, one of the assignments was to read the Proverbs of the day 3 times a day. And I thought, man, that's horrible. What a burden. You know, I got more out of Proverbs for that 30 days than I ever had before. There's something to that. The more you read it, the more you get out of it deal. And so having a plan or some kind of structure to it is a real help. And here's turn to Psalm 119, verse 18. Psalm 119, verse 18, it's a good prayer to pray before you read your Bible. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Asking the Lord to open your eyes and to be with you on this. You know, I've got a few things, I got 7 little things here that you ought to consider before and after you sit down to read your Bible. I know I can say all this stuff and it's all great, and tomorrow, you know, I got this much time to read Bible and you bust it out and you check the list. And you know what? That's good, because that's a lot better than not doing it. That's a lot better than not doing it. But if you want to start getting something out of it and start really having some special time with God, then why don't you try something? There's some things here like... After you've read your Bible, what new thing have I learned today? Now, if you go into it looking for those kind of things, God's going to show you something. Is there a command for me to obey? Ugh. Huh? Is there something in here that maybe God's trying to put his finger on? Is there an example for me to follow? You know, that Old Testament is just full of accounts of history. I hate to say stories because they're not stories. They're true. They're facts. And in those are tons of examples of how God deals with people, how we should deal with God. You know, there's tons of examples. It's put there for our help. Another question, is there an error for me to avoid? I mean, you can see a lot of, did Israel ever mess up in the Bible? Sure. There's plenty of things in there that we can get examples from. Is there a sin for me to forsake? God will show it to you if you ask him. Is there a promise for me to claim? Now, a lot of us are good at that. We'll go there and just grab up some promises that maybe belong to somebody else and we'll claim them. But there's a lot of good promises in there. And did Did I learn anything new about God or His Word today? You know, if you could go through your Bible reading today and just try to check off some of those questions and see if it, I know something would improve. I really do. I know something that would improve. The plan for your private time with God. You got to prevent it from becoming mechanical, but you want to make it habitual. And so that's part of what this lesson is about, because mine, I guarantee you, it can become mechanical. I work off of list, and at the top of my list every day is read and pray, and I desire to scratch that off the list. And many times my desire to scratch it off the list is way more than actually my desire to spend the time with God in Bible reading and prayer. And that's when it's become mechanical. And I can check it off and say I did it. And it's great that I did it, but I didn't get near what God wanted me to get out of it. You see what I mean? And to make something habitual, it says try to have it at the same time each day. You know, I pretty much habitually eat three meals a day. Okay? I've developed a habit for that and always ready to increase it. I got no problem increasing it. And that's the way our Bible reading ought to be. It ought to be where that we have it at a certain time every day so that we know that's what we do. That's what we do. Aim for a systematic plan. Your Bible reading and your time with God, you know, how much time do you put into reading the Bible? How much time do you put into prayer? You know, we've got the song Sweet Hour of Prayer. I don't know if there's anybody in here that does that on a regular basis. Maybe they do. It's a great thing. But really, we need to find a way to put some kind of structure to your personal time with God so that there is time for reading the Bible, there is time for studying the Bible, two different things, and there's time for prayer. And so I don't know how you make that work. I try to, you know, just an example, I try to read a proverb a day, I try to pray, and then I try to do my regular Bible reading, and then of course I have study, but I try to purposely change the order of them all the time. Okay, because it will get where if I put prayer at the end of Bible reading, then prayer gets cut a lot because the phone will ring or something will happen and I have to do something. Well, prayer got cut, so I put prayer at the first. Yeah, I switch them around. So if something's going to get cut, it doesn't get cut every day. Okay, and don't be you know I keep telling you put a plan. Don't be rigid. Don't get where you're discouraged. A couple of years ago, I got where, this deal about Psalm a day, and then when there's only 28 days in a month, and now I've got 30 and 31 extra to read, is a little bit out of hand, okay? And so, you know, I got where I was, you know, skipping Proverbs and this and that, and so then I got all convicted, so I made a big promise to God, I'm going to read the proverb a day. And if I miss it, I'm going to read it the next day. Well, then you'll get into one of these streaks, and believe it or not, y'all never do, but there's been times where I've missed it more than 3 or 4 days, okay? Well, then you got to read like half of Proverbs to catch up. But I made a deal with God, and I told him, look, I'm going to read them. And to this day, I don't care how far I get behind, I'm going to read them. I'm going to read Proverbs every day, okay? And that, just doing that to myself makes me read it every day so I don't get behind. Yeah, boy, y'all are going to, yeah. Okay, but y'all don't have any of these problems. That's okay. But what I'm saying is, it's just like anything else that we do. You know, it's the guy that gets up here, and God bless him, but he says, you know what, if you put three tracts in your pocket and you pass out three tracts a day, in a year, you're going to pass out over 1,000 tracts. And man, you get all excited about that, right? And so Monday morning, you put three tracts in here, and you get out and you pass them out. And you go, all right. Tuesday, you put three tracts in there, and you pass out one. Uh-oh, Wednesday comes along and now we got to do five. Uh-oh, we only did one. Thursday comes along, we got to do eight. You know what you do? You get discouraged. because you've just committed to something that you didn't keep up with. Don't do that with your Bible reading. You know, we've had Brother Gip get up here and say, by God, you ought to read 10 pages a day or you're not saved. You know, make it a... Read what the proverb says, it's like honey. You can read too much and you can read too little. But don't put yourself in a bind where you get discouraged and you don't read any. And when you do fail and you do like Randy and miss your proverbs for 3 or 4 days in a row, you know what you do? The next day you just get up and start over again. And you start reading your proverbs. Don't get to a point where this is something that's a big burden. This ought to be a precious time. I have had some of the greatest times reading my Bible. Comes to mind, Maureen and I got blessed and we got to go to Yosemite. She'll say 2 or 3 years ago, it's probably been 10 or 12. And to be able to take your Bible, walk off the trail out there, sit down next to a redwood tree, a sequoia tree that was big enough to drive a truck through, and sit there and read your Bible right there in the middle of what God created is fantastic. It's a great personal time with God. We've sat at Big Ben and looked out at mule ears and just had the best time in the Word. And those are special times to me. And I try, many times I've sat down and asked the Lord, okay, I'm here. All I want to do is spend some time with you. Lord, I want you to just pick me up like I'm your little child and I want you to read this book to me. And you would be surprised if you will just come to this with that attitude, what God can do with it, really. Okay, I'm going to give you, here's the, many times, and I'm telling you many times, pastor's gotten this pulpit, and he said, I remember when Randy did that lesson on the acts of prayer. Okay, well, I'm confessing, I got that out of a book somewhere, okay? I didn't invent this. It was just a lesson, and it's a good lesson. And I'm going to give you those 4 points. It's a way to get your prayers balanced, because too many times, especially for me, mine is just, okay, God, listen up. Here's my Christmas list. This is what I need. And there ought to be a little bit more to prayer than that. And so that's what this ACTS, the acts of prayer, is. The first one is adoration, Psalm 95, verse 6. Adoration. Psalm 95, verse 6 says, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Adoration, there ought to be some time spent in your prayer just praising God for who He is. He likes that. He likes that. And too many times that's not even on the list. I love the prayer request tonight. Thank you for God's goodness. We'll start there, okay? Because God is good. He is good all the time. And, you know, there's a certain amount of, I don't want to call it, it is respect, but it is adoration. You know, why do we bow our head when we pray? Because He's God. You see, why do we get down and kneel sometime to pray? Because He's God. There's an adoration. There's a respect. There's an honor due Him. And we need to spend a little bit more time in our prayer, probably humbling ourselves and praising God. Okay, that's the A. The C, Psalm 32:5. Psalm 32:5 says, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. The C stands for confession. The C stands for confession. There ought to be plenty of time, and we all have plenty of things to confess. There ought to be plenty of time to get with the Lord, give Him the adoration that He's due, and do some time confessing of our sins. Confessing, telling Him, you know, no matter what you say, He's a God, He knows everything, sure. When He was in the Garden of Eden, Did he have to ask where you guys at? No, he knew where they were at. He just wants to hear them confess it. Did he ask Cain, where's your brother? Did he know where Cain's brother was? Sure he did. He wanted Cain to confess it. And the same thing with us. He knows what we've done, and he knows what's right and what's wrong, and all he wants us to do is confess it. And then, of course, according to 1 John 1:9, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. So it's a good deal. So adoration and confession. The T is thanksgiving, Philippians 4:6. Thanksgiving. And it's amazing. I don't know. It just, you know, we all go through different stages and different seasons in life. I don't mind telling you, I've spent some seasons in life where most of mine are thanksgiving. Most of the time my prayer is thanking him because he has really got me through some stuff. Verse 6, Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. With thanksgiving. God sure likes to be thanked for all the things he's already done. And we ought to do that. In fact, when those 10 lepers met up with the Lord and they got cleansed, got healed, how many of them turned around and thanked the Lord? One. That's pretty much the national average for Baptist churches, okay? We've got adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and the S is supplication, 1 Timothy chapter 2. The acts of prayer. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Supplication is when we actually make a prayer request. We ask him for something. We've got Hebrews 4:16 that says we can come boldly to the throne of grace and find help in a time of need. That's supplication. So that's your acts of prayer. And then finally, we've had the purpose of your time with God, your preparation for your time with God, your provisions for your time with God, the plan for your time with God, the prayer with your time with God, and now problems with your time with God. The biggest problem we all have is it's a daily battle. You got Satan, you got the world, and you got the flesh, and everything interrupts this. Everything precedes it. It's almost one of those things where you've got to commit to it. You've got to decide, you got to prioritize, you got to decide that, you know what, my time with God means more to me right now than anything else, and I'm going to do it. And I can say with all assurance that if you do that, God covers it. He does. He covers it. I've done it many times where I am busy. I've got 3 businesses. I'm running like this, but I know I need to be with God. And I just shut the office door, turn the phone off, and God takes care of the rest of that stuff. He enjoys having personal one-on-one time with his children. And so I pray there's something in some of this that has sparked or gets you to try to click that time with God up, maybe just a notch or so, and that we'll all benefit from it. So I pray that. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to do another lesson in pastor's pulpit. And I really pray, Lord, that each one of us will find a way to really improve the quality, maybe the length, maybe just the things that we do during our time with you. And I pray that you'll bless us for it, and we'll know that you're pleased. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.